Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome to Willkommen, the official companion podcast to the University of Kansas's Spring 2023 production of the musical Cabaret, running April 20th to April 30th at Stage 2 in the Craft and Pryor Theater in Murphy Hall. My name is Jonah Green. I'm the associate director and dramaturg for the production, and I'm also your host for this very podcast. If you missed it, the first episode of this podcast provides a spoiler-free plot summary of Cabaret, as well as an overview of the musical's production history from its original Broadway premiere in 1966 to today, and highlights the themes and ideas you should expect to encounter when seeing the University of Kansas production. I recommend you check out the episode if you haven't yet. But today, I am thrilled to welcome a very special guest to the podcast. He is an assistant professor at the University of Kansas who teaches acting, directing, script analysis, and musical theater. He is the artistic director of the Department of Theater and Dance at KU. He is our fearless leader as the director of Cabaret. And since many people have remarked that the two of us keep wearing very similar outfits to rehearsals, I'm also going to officially name you as the best-dressed person involved in Cabaret. Marcus Potter, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Jonah. Great to be here and excited to jam a little bit on Cabaret. Right on.
Me too. I can't wait to chat with you just about everything from the directing side for this production. Maybe we should just start by taking a snapshot of the moment. We'll be releasing this later, but we're recording this 3 weeks into rehearsals. How are things going so far? How's it looking?
You know, living in a perpetual state of absolute fear. It's a monumental event to make any production come together, let alone one of the most iconic musicals of all time. So I won't lie, it's daunting and fear-inducing, and I try to live in that vulnerability as a director, as I invite actors in an acting class to live in their state of truth and their real state of where they are at in every given moment. So definitely still living in this incredibly daunting task, but we have an incredible cast. We have a tremendous creative team. There's so much support. There's so many brilliant minds that are coming together to help lift this story that I'm feeling really good about where we are. I just have to do whatever I can to get out of the way and let all the great people do amazing work, and we will get there.
Well, I have been in rehearsals. I can say things are going well. But I totally hear you, and it's such an amazing team involved. I want to talk to you about approaching directing this show, this specific production. And I think we have to start by going backwards a little bit and just looking at the broad view and saying, Cabaret, what is this show to you? I mean, a director always has to have a vision or an idea in mind of what the story is about. In your words, what is Cabaret about to you? What drew you to the play initially? What is the story that you're hoping to tell with this production?
You know, we're living in a moment in time where it's necessary to center this story. You know, we're living in a moment where hate on so many levels is on the rise, hate against Jewish people specifically, as noted by the Anti-Defamation League that has been tracking acts of violence and hate for the last 40 years. Noted that we are at the absolute apex in 2021 with acts of violence against the Jewish community. So we're living in a moment where we need to tell this story for that reason, also to resist the possibility of falling into apathy and being numb. We're all coming out of a moment of such collective trauma that it's easy to check out and survive as best as we can. But this story reminds us of atrocities that happened in our past, atrocities that can happen again if we're not careful. And we're just reminded that we need to continually ask ourselves the question that Fräulein Schneider asks what would we do? What would you do? What would we do if we were faced with these horrific situations as happened in Cabaret, as we're in the 1930s and the Nazi Party is on the rise? Would we enter a mode of self-preservation, or would we speak up and use our voice and do anything within our power to reject hate?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is obviously Cabaret is originally premiered on Broadway in 1966. It's had a long storied production history, 1972 movie, Academy Award winning, famous 1998 revival. I'm curious, as a director, how you approach the fact that there have been so many well-known iterations of Cabaret before, and how you work against the fact that it is such a known show, but also find the balance of maybe honoring previous versions of the show, making it your own. It's a tough balance to find. What have you done in terms of your approach to honoring, but also making it your own?
You know, I have spent a lot of my work as a director and as an artistic director centering new work. That's been my bread and butter. So as I approach Cabaret, first and foremost, I try to hear it and process it as if it never had existed before. Naturally, we know there are these iconic iterations from the 1966 Broadway production to the 1998 Alan Cumming, of course, the movie. There's a production that's gaining a lot of ears and eyes and critical acclaim in London right now. So there are these iconic moments of these revivals that have happened over the last several decades. So on one hand, I'm really reading the story as if it's a new work, as if I'm developing a new musical. But then I'm also, you know, looking to the great folks in our field that have taken on this story and learning whatever I can from them. And I will say that to acting students that are working on a scene that is iconic. Like, yeah, we don't want to imitate anything. We don't want a carbon copy of a carbon copy, but there also have been great artists and technicians that have worked on these pieces. And if we can learn about the pitfalls, if we can learn about the challenges, I think we can work in tandem by learning from past productions, but also keeping that fresh eye of hearing the story as if it's new every single moment that we're in rehearsal.
This is, on a broad scale, but also kind of looking at the rehearsal room, and also as your job as artistic director. This is a massive KU production. I mean, it's a huge cast, and it includes extensive collaboration with dance and music faculty and students, with Michelle Hefner-Hayes, the choreographer, and Ryan McCall, the music director, dance BFA students, theater performance majors, non-majors. As both director of the production and artistic director, can you speak a little to the importance of this collaboration, the opportunity this production offers in showing all parts of the theater and dance department's talents all in one neat production?
Yeah, you know, this collaboration is indeed one of the most exciting aspects of telling this story right now, right here and now. As you said, we are now the Department of Theater and Dance, so it's exciting to have BFA dancers working alongside our BA performance majors, having our PhD students like yourself as dramaturg and associate director, and Tiffany Hagen as assistant director. We're working with faculty from the music school. Paul Laird is serving as consulting musicologist. Our chair, Henry Beil, playing Professor Schultz. We have faculty working alongside students, and this is right in line with Professor Beil's research. So he brings a tremendous expertise into the room, and all of us putting our heads together to tell this urgent story is truly exciting. You know, it's such an old cliche about collaboration, but how we collaborate and what an effective collaboration really means is really exciting and important to me. So again, the cliche is the best idea in the room wins, but I truly mean that and live by that. We are all trying to take our ego out of the room and just serve the story and lean into the collaboration, which for me means everyone making each other better and lifting each other up. So far we have a great group of smart artists that are asking the right questions, that are really digging in and allowing themselves to be vulnerable and be surprised, all in service of telling this story in this moment, which is so important for us to bear witness to and lift. So very, very happy about where we are so far and about this team of people coming together.
Yeah, and I'll highlight the having Henry Beil as Herr Schultz, having Laura Kirk as Fräulein Schneider is both dramaturgically fascinating to show everyone else as the young fools, perhaps, stuck in the Kit Kat Club, but also, as you said, as a collaboration and educational experience. I think it's wonderful for the students and for everyone involved. Final question for you. You've spoke to this a little bit, but big question always for a director of any production, certainly one, you know, that was a 1966 show, now doing it in 2023. I'd love to hear you describe what you think the why now of this show is, why this work is important now. What do you hope that the KU audiences feel, think, or do after seeing this production?
You know, at the end of the musical, Cliff is on stage ruminating about what the hell happened. And he asks himself, how did we reach the end of the world? And for me, I interpret that as what's to come in the 30s after the rise of the party and the atrocities that will quickly unfold. And I believe we are asking ourselves, when we leave the theater, how did this happen? How did we arrive at that moment? How did we arrive at the end of the world, as it were? And then it's the journey of trying to understand and how we grapple with our own realities and our, as we're confronted with the fascist dogma that surrounds us. And again, the alarming rise of anti-Semitism. This is a story that makes us evaluate our current or potential apathy or complacency. You know, who will be and who have been the enablers, the capitulators and the bystanders who fail to intervene, who will fail to intervene, and how do we not repeat history? That's where I hope the story leads us. And again, the why now goes back to rejecting apathy, rejecting the idea that we can just get by to self-preserve, that we have a duty, we have a calling, we must speak up whenever we can in any small or large way, that we must use our voice to reject hate. That's why we were telling this story.
It's a powerful message and certainly comes through in everything that we've worked on so far. Well, Marcus, we can't wait to see your directorial vision come to life in this production. The University of Kansas is very lucky to have you here. Thank you so much again, Marcus, for joining us today and sharing your great insights.
Jonah, it's a great joy to collaborate with you. Thank you for being such a great advocate and collaborator. It's an absolute joy to work with you, so thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone listening. A reminder, if you haven't yet, go get your tickets for the University of Kansas's Cabaret, running April 20th through 30th on Stage 2 in the Craft and Pryor Theater in Murphy Hall. You can either get tickets in person at the University Theater box office in Murphy Hall by calling the box office at 785-864-3982 or online at kutheater.com. We hope to see you in the Kit Kat Club very soon. So long.